Well, if you could go ahead and make your way back to your seats. You're going the wrong direction. It would have bugged her the whole service. Yep. All right. You know, you guys, you need, you know, after the service, you know, when the service is over, feel free to visit. It's like as soon as the service is over, it's like, everyone's out of here. So if you didn't get all your visiting done, you know, you can do that after the service. All right. Want to just go through some announcements here. Connection card, just reminder. Prayer requests, praises can go on there. Any updates, those kinds of things. We're in the process of updating the phone list and the directory for that also. And then just by way of announcement, so I was able to find some Experiencing God workbooks a little bit cheaper. So we ended up ordering some. And so there's a sign-up list out there now for you to sign up for a book. So, and we'll order more as we need them. I think I've got 36 right now. And so they're $15 a piece. So just put on there if you need a book, just put that on there. Next Sunday is our second Sunday, and so that's our Rise and Dine potluck brunch. So just a reminder to potluck, yeah. So just a reminder that's coming up, and I think that's it. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that it's the start of this Advent season when we celebrate your son coming to this earth, being born as a little baby. Father, help us to, you know, not just to do that this time of year, but throughout all the year, remember, you know, what Jesus did for us. And this morning, also as we celebrate communion, again, remembering what he did. Yes, he came as a baby, but ultimately he came to die. And so, Father, help us to remember that and to be appreciative and thankful for that. And I want to thank you that Sandy Stenson has gotten home from the hospital, that Roger Loberg is doing better and should be coming home in the next few days. Father, just thank you for those. And, you know, I'm sure there's others in our body, others that we know that are dealing with health issues. Father, I just lift them up to you. And also I'm reminded of, you know, people that have lost loved ones. And so many times the holidays kind of stir up those emotions. And so, Father, I want to lift those up to you, that they can remember their loved ones and yet still be able to participate in life with those who are here around them. And we thank you, Father, for so many things that you do for us. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So today is the first Sunday of Advent, and so I'm going to be doing a series on Advent for the next 4 weeks. Today is hope. We're looking at hope. And I want to just publicly thank Tom and Kim for the decorating that they've done. Especially Tom for climbing up in the nasty, dirty attic. So appreciate you guys doing that. Advent. The term means expectant arrival, appearance, or coming. It's that idea of anticipation. You know, probably more so when we were kids than maybe we do now is that expecting for Christmas. Didn't it seem like it just drug on and on? It's like, is Christmas ever going to get here? As a kid, it just seemed like it took forever. being an only child and one who was probably left home more than they should have been, a lot of times I knew what I was getting before I ever opened them. Just saying. X-ray vision. And not only that, but I was very specific about what I wanted. I would take things out of catalogs, a page out of catalogs, and hang it on my parents' door, you know, bedroom door. So they were very clear, you know, what I was expecting. I can remember one year, this was not good. I was expecting a certain thing, and I got something totally different, like not even on my radar. And of course, I had a really good attitude about that. Oh my gosh. Later in the day, I got what I was expecting. So that was like even worse. It's like, oh my gosh. That memory of that Christmas will be indelibly in my mind. And not only that, we were celebrating at someone else's house. We were staying there with them, and yeah, that was sad. But how do we respond when we don't get what we hope for? You know, we've got our heart set on something. We're really hoping for something, and then we don't get it. And how do we respond? The stores, you know, the anticipation of the buck. You know, the last few years, it's like, oh, well, we can do Black Friday shopping on Wednesday. You know, it's just been kind of crazy how that's expanded out. Although I heard a news report last night that said because of that, Black Friday is not as crazy as it used to be. People aren't standing in lines and just being, you know, absolutely nuts about it. But what we're doing as believers is it's this time of preparation, this time of looking forward to the coming Savior. Advent looks back and it looks forward at the same time in hope for the coming Messiah and the return of Christ. So this morning we lit that first candle, the first Sunday in Advent, and we're reminded that we need to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Christ child. And the candle is a symbol of those long waiting years of hoping for Messiah. The prophets, inspired by God, kept reminding the people. Can I tell you? Battery, maybe? Oh, well, that's not it then. So the prophets were inspired by God and kept reminding the people to look forward to the coming of Messiah, the Son of God, who was going to redeem their people from their sin, who was going to set up a new kingdom on this earth. And then before Jesus left this earth, he reminded his disciples that he would come again, that they need to be watching and waiting for his return. So Israel's hope for a Savior, for a Messiah. We read that passage this morning. Brooke read that in Isaiah, which is here somewhere. For a child will be born to us. These are the prophets speaking to Israel. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Put yourself in the place of the Jews, who had been really oppressed a lot. Of course, a lot of that was their own doing, but still, they were wanting that kingdom of God to come on the earth. They were wanting that Messiah to come because their expectation of Messiah was he was going to set up this kingdom. He was the promised one. 1 Peter 1 through 10 says, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. The prophets would keep reminding the people to have hope that Messiah is coming. And they waited hundreds and hundreds of years for the Messiah to come. And then he came. Luke 2, 10 through 11 says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God that this was finally happening. And even just the way that it happened, you know, in the stable, kind of out of the way. No one really knew what was going on. The angel, where did the angel go to? The shepherds out in the field, some of the lowest people. And yet that's who God first went to and said, the Savior is here, the Messiah has been born. But not everybody accepted him as Messiah. Because a lot of the Jews, especially the religious leaders, they were expecting something different. This is not what they were hoping for. They were not hoping for this, bless you, this baby born in a manger. What they were hoping was this conquering king to come in and free their people physically on this earth. Our hope in salvation is in Jesus Christ. That's what we hope for. There's a song, O Holy Night. It says, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. That hope fulfilled in the Savior. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. The hope of salvation through Jesus Christ. And still, not everyone accepts that. Not everyone accepts that Jesus came as Savior or that they even need a Savior. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a Savior that has come. And our hope now continues to be in Christ's return. He has said that there will be a day when he will come back. Believers have been waiting thousands of years for this. His return. Micah 7:7 says, but as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. When Jesus left, he said, wait expectantly. I'm coming back. I will come back. And of course, over the years, people who don't believe have used that to say, all right, so where is he? You know, because his disciples, when Jesus said he was coming back, their expectation was that he would come back in their lifetime. I mean, that was their expectation. But it didn't happen. And so then others would say, well, yeah, see, obviously this wasn't right. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:3 it says, now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written for you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. In other words, it'll all of a sudden be here. That there will be a lot of people that don't see it, that don't recognize it. That there isn't a date set out there somewhere of when he's going to return. There's things that have to happen. There's things that are going to be put into place. In fact, Jesus himself said, only the Father knows the time. What we have to do is hope, live in hope, an expectant hope that he's coming. To live in that hope. Now, this isn't a hope like, I hope it happens. This is a hope like, it's assured that it will happen. That's the kind of hope we live in. It's an assurance. Titus 2, 11 through 13 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how we live in that hope, the kind of lives that we live, Titus here is telling us, here's how you need to live as you're hoping for this coming Savior. James 5, 7, he puts it in the terms of the culture. He says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. And we can say without any doubt, it's getting nearer every day. It is getting nearer every day. But this idea of patiently waiting for the return of the Lord, having this hope that, yes, he is going to return. And we as believers should be some of the most hopeful people there are. 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. We, of all people, should be hopeful. People should see hope in us. What do we hope for in this Christmas season? Are we hoping more for Christ or more for Christmas? What is our expectation? We should be hoping for Christ, hoping especially for that second coming of Christ. So as we have looked at hope this morning, we're also going to look at communion, the Lord's Supper. Again, a time to reflect on what God's done for us, a time to remember what Jesus has done for us. It's a good time to evaluate our attitude towards Christmas. You know, are we hoping for that gift under the tree, or are we hoping for that baby in the manger who eventually would die for our sin? Are we hoping for Christ's return, or are we content with our life? One of the gals that comes to the community potluck next door wrote this, and she gave it to me this year. It says, the Advent season is one of waiting. We wait for the sign of God's love. We wait for the baby Jesus. With Advent, the babe in the creche is the focus of our waiting and preparations for Christmas. But most of us do not want to think about the season called Lent. We tend to separate these two seasons. But they are forever connected by the work, the passion, and the commitment, the giving of God's love. It is the paradigm of all right relationships. If we want to hold the Christmas babe in our hearts, let us remember we are connected to the passion and the giving of that relationship in our relationships with all others. Thank God for the season of giving, for a full creche in an empty tomb, which is the gift of life. So as we go into communion here this morning, again, just thinking about that. You know, Jesus, yes, he came as a baby, but what was his ultimate goal? His ultimate goal was to hang on that cross, to shed his blood for us. And we need to be living in expectation that he will come again. Matthew 24, starting in verse 42, says, "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the slave whom his master finds doing who his master finds so doing when he comes." In other words, living in that hope. Living in the expectation. We remember the cross this morning, but we also need to live in obedience. We need to live in hope. We need to be the example to the world that there is hope. That there is hope. I mean, what better way to get a conversation started when you're living in hope when so much of the world is not? And that they will ask that question, how can you have hope in this messed up world? And you have the answer. If the guys want to come on up. So as we partake of the body of and the blood this morning of the Lord, just, you know, taking some time as we're doing this, just to evaluate maybe your thoughts of Christmas, evaluate relationships. Are you living in hope? Are you one who someone would look at and say, yeah, that person's hopeful? I want to know why. as you take the bread this morning, remembering that it's a symbol of Jesus' body, that yes, he was born as a baby, but he grew up to be a man. He was human and God all at the same time. And his goal was to hang on that cross, to shed his blood for us. So take, eat in remembrance of Jesus. God's requirement for the penalty of sin was perfect shed blood. Throughout the Old Testament, he continued to show that picture of the perfect, unblemished lamb that would shed its blood for sin. And Jesus was that perfect, unblemished lamb that shed his blood for us. So this is a symbol of that blood that was shed. Be thankful and remember what Jesus did. Take, drink in remembrance of Jesus. If you want to hand your cups towards the middle, the guys will pick them up. So I pray that this Christmas season would be full of hopeful expectation as you look forward to celebrating the birth of Christ, but also celebrating what he's done for us. So God bless you. Have a good week.